good morning. I want to welcome you to Faith Bible Church Home Edition, and praying that hopefully we will be able to get back to our church building soon. But of course, until then, we'll still continue our time in the Word of God in the Book of Philippians, and we're really having a good time with this. And today is one of those messages that, for those who are part of my church, you've heard me talk about this a number of times. It really is kind of the passion of my life as being a Christian, and that is dealing with the work of God and being used of God. I really wholeheartedly believe in what the Word of God lays out, that everyone, every person that is ever born, God has a plan and a purpose for them. And I know a lot of times people struggle with that. It's kind of like, what's God's will for my life? And, you know, why am I here on earth? Especially with everything that is going on in the world, it's like, what exactly is the purpose, plan? Why am I here on planet earth? Well, hopefully we can kind of look at some of that today as we continue on in Philippians chapter 2. Now remember, the subject matter of this chapter is we're working and dealing with a vision and having a vision for others. Chapter 1, we looked at having a vision to serve. Chapter 2, now we're looking at having a vision for others, because there's going to be so much in this chapter that lays out what we need to do as far as dealing with other people. Focus not being on ourselves. We saw that from the first few messages that we've had already in chapter 2. Well, today it really comes down to really kind of picking up everything that we've been seeing in these last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, when it was Easter, we saw how the Lord, in dealing with how He became, how God became man and His sacrifice on a cross, and everything that He's done for us, is a perfect time for that message. Last week, we talked about our accountability before God, that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. And with that, we talked about how, as believers in Christ, we will give an account for our lives and how we serve God, how we, what we've done with the grace of God that He has given us. It's not this judgment seat of Christ, it's not dealing with our sin, as far as being judged for, because that's already been dealt with on Calvary's cross. But it's our service. That's what we're going to be judged for. And so it just stands to reason that as we come to these next two verses that we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it talks about really the work of God that He would have us to do. And so I want to read these verses and have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today, because there's a lot that we need to really discuss. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says this. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." We have two verses. We have 2 points. Hopefully you got the outline that I posted just about 30 minutes ago. And looking at this message as far as the work of God and dealing with really the command that we have in verse 12, and then, of course, the commission that God has given us in verse 13. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, we thank you and praise you for today. We thank you that we have this opportunity, this ability to be able to continue to get the Word of God out to the world, Lord. And I just pray that it will accomplish the purpose that it needs. Again, as always, that you would get me out of the way, that you so desire that you would work through me to be able to proclaim your Word, to be able to lay it out verse by verse here, and to be able to give us the things that we all need, starting with myself. Again, in the times that we live in, it's uncertain times, and I know a lot of people are hurting out there, wondering what's going on. Help us, Lord, to see the purpose through the pain maybe that we're going through, or just the your will, Lord, and everything that is laid out in your Word, that we can understand that even through these times, you have a purpose for us. You have a reason why we are born at this time. We have a reason. You have a reason why we're in this time period. You have a reason why we're going through what we're going through. Help us to see that purpose. Help us to be a people, Lord, that would bring you glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2, again, in verse 12, it says this, "Wherefore," that word deals with the context of what we just covered. And as I said, last week we dealt with how every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, and specifically for the Christian, we're given an account at the judgment seat of Christ, which obviously is still yet future, of the things that we've done, the service that we've done for the Lord. And so he says, "Wherefore," based on that context, it says, "My beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So there's a lot to cover in this verse, and to make sure that we have understood. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Paul's not talking about how to work for your salvation. We've already dealt with that. We'll talk about it here in a second. But the first thing that he says here is dealing with obeying. He says, just as the Philippians obeyed, you know, in his presence and much more even in his absence. We know that as Paul is writing the letter to the Philippians, he is not obviously there in Philippi. He is in prison. He's in jail. You see a reference to that really just if you go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he understands, again, that the Philippians, they are obedient. He wanted them to continue to obey. As any of us who are parents, we know that that's what we want for our children, is we want them to obey. I don't think there's a parent out there, especially dealing with young kids, that they don't want them to obey the things that they've commanded. Well, God is the same way. I want you to just turn back, probably just one page, actually, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. This is something in dealing with, obviously, commands as far as dealing with parents and kids, as far as children obeying their parents. It says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, actually to verse 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Again, any parent wants their kids to obey them. I mean, we don't want to go out to the grocery store and have your kids running around all over the place doing whatever they want. We want them to obey. As soon as they start acting out, we're trying to get them to do what? To settle down. We want them to obey. We want them to obey immediately, not just obey when they want to obey. And we understand that as parents. Now, let's take this in a spiritual application and dealing with God our Father. And we are His children. If we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what our Father wants us to do? He wants us to obey. Obey the commands that He has given us. The things that He has laid out in His Word, He wants us to obey them, to do them. And you think about how frustrating it is as parents in dealing with our physical kids when they do not want to obey. Guess what? It's the same thing as far as our Heavenly Father. It is frustrating, in a sense, to Him that we are not obeying. He wants us to obey the things that He's laid out in His Word. And part of that, as we're going to see today, is that He has a work for us to do. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives that He wants us to be able to obey, and we should obviously do that. In that command that we saw in Ephesians chapter 6 and talking about honoring the father and mother, that it's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. It's like, God the Father wants the same thing for us. We want things to be well in our lives. Well, what we need to do is follow His will to be well in this life. In other words, we need to obey His commandments. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 again. Much more to look at there. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more my absence, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I'm going to tell you what this verse is not saying, first of all. It's not like everybody's prerogative in it. You have to work out your own salvation. You have to decide what it's going to be for you to be able to go to heaven. That is not what this verse is saying. It's not saying that it doesn't matter what religion that you have, as long as you're a good person, then you'll be fine. You're working your way out for our salvation. It is not saying that at all. And I'm going to show you that, especially as we literally expound or go through, explain this next verse in verse 13. But remember what we've already covered. Previously, in our last two messages, we talked about the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross for our sins. There's no way that we can do any work that is going to add to that, and nor can we take away from His death on the cross, His sacrifice. He suffered our death in hell on the cross. He was buried, rose again the third day. It is understanding that, having faith in that, belief in that, as we covered in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that's how we have eternal life. That's how we are saved, that we believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that we confess with our mouth that He is Lord. That's simply how we have salvation. Jesus Christ has done the work. We can't do anything to add or take away from that. There is no good works. If we had 1,000 lifetimes to be able for us to earn our way to heaven, we'll cover this verse here in a second that deals with that. But when he's talking about work out your own salvation, it's like the salvation that you accepted, the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, you believe that in your heart, you need to work it out. In other words, you need to make it manifest. All right? Put it this way. When people spend time with you, do they know that you're a Christian? How can somebody know that you have accepted Christ as your Savior? We have the example of water baptism. Water baptism can't save you. I know there's different religions and denominations that talk about you need to be baptized in water in order to be saved. Well, that would be a work. There is no work that can put you to heaven. Water baptism is simply an outward show of what you have done in your inward commitment. When I baptize somebody, it's showing that they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They die to the old self, and they're raised to walk in newness of life. That's all water baptism is. It is a tool. It's a public means of being able to show people what you have done in your heart. All right, and so when we talk about working out your salvation, it's like people need to see that you are a believer in Christ. It's going to be by your actions. It's going to be by your words. All right. If I started talking a bunch of cop lingo, you might understand that, hey, Charles has got some law enforcement background. If I started talking about the things about martial arts and karate, you might think, hey, I guess he knows enough. He probably understands some things about karate. Maybe that's something that he does. Well, what about all of us as believers in Christ? Can people spend time with us and know that we are a Christian? Now, I know we can fake it and people lie and so forth and so on. But my point is this, when we talk about working out your salvation, is taking that which God has done in your life and making it manifest that people can see it in the world. Now, again, let me give you some references in dealing with, again, how we're not working for our salvation. I want you to go right back to the book of Ephesians, but this time, chapter 2. These are popular verses in dealing with our salvation. Our salvation is by grace, but we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Usually verses 8 and 9 is what is read and people understand, but I want to include verse 10 because it deals with the subject matter at hand, that God has a work and a purpose for us. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." It is the gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I'm going to stop there for right now and explain that. Again, verses 8 and 9 very clearly says it's by grace through faith. In other words, grace, God's grace, His gift that He gave to us. It's not something that we can earn. Again, and it's through faith in what He has done for us on the cross. And it specifically says, not of yourself. If you think that water baptism saves you, that's you going and doing something. It's of yourself. No, not even that. There's nothing that we can do. It's not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we know it. I've mentioned this before, I think recently, that we would be bragging in heaven about what we did to earn our right there. There's no work that we can do. Jesus Christ has done it for us. But I want to go ahead and read in verse 10, because it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Verse 10 is absolutely an incredible verse. You see, we don't do good works to get saved. We should be doing good works because we are saved. And God has really laid out for us the works that we should be doing. We're going to learn those things as we spend time in the Word of God and developing that relationship with God, that He's going to show us through His Word the works that we're supposed to be doing. It's not something that we have to try to guess about. It's a matter of just developing and growing in your walk with the Lord. Now, I want to again look at verse 10 and see what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For we are His workmanship." In other words, the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God started working in your life. He filled you with the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to walk, obviously, in the Spirit, walk according to the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us. It's the Holy Spirit of God that that guides and directs us and helps us to understand the Word of God. He starts a good work in you to change the old person and, again, to create you in Christ Jesus as that new person. We'll cover a verse that deals with that here in a second. But again, it says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." We have to be in Christ. No other religion is ever going to work. I talked about that in the last couple of weeks. It's in Christ and Christ only. It says, "But again, He created us in Christ Jesus unto good works," plural, "which God hath before ordained or appointed that we should walk in them." That word "should" means that we have a choice whether we're going to walk in them or not. Here's the thing you need to understand from this verse. From the moment, actually, even before you've ever thought about Jesus Christ, before, matter of fact, even before you were born, God knew when you were going to be born. He knows if you're going to accept Christ or not. And your choice to accept Christ, God lays out these works, good works, for you to do in your life. The purpose and plan is already ordained or appointed even before the world began. Well, again, we will deal with that here in a little bit. It's like, it's amazing that, again, God's all-knowing. He knows everything that's going to take place, but it's still our choice whether we're going to choose to walk in those good works or not. It's our choice whether we're going to choose to obey God or not. And that's what, obviously, God wants us to do. I'm going to tell you this right now. Man, like I said, I love the subject and talk hours about it. Let me back up here for a second. One of the things, again, that really makes me tick, from the moment that I got saved, God has placed a desire in my heart, a desire for His Word and a desire to be used of God. I remember my early days of being saved. It's almost, will be 32 years coming this June, June 4th, matter of fact. I got saved in 1988, and I shared that recently. God just gave me a desire for His Word and a desire to be used of Him. And my prayers early on was just, Lord, I want to be used of You. And God very quickly dealt with me about preaching and teaching the Word of God. And there were some struggles in getting going with that, with the church I was involved in at the time, but everything worked out. I mean, God works everything out. And it's been a burning desire in my heart and my life ever since I got saved and continues to be so. It's that desire for the Word of God and to be used of God. Now, I know that I am not the only person that God has reached down and given that kind of burning desire. God has that desire for all of us. And here's what I want to say, is that you will never be fulfilled in your life if you're not doing what God has created you to do. That is Ephesians 2:10. You are His workmanship. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And if we walk in them, that's when you understand having a life that is fulfilled. It's not going to matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter how many toys and trinkets in this life that you're going to be able to mass obtain or not. None of that's going to matter, because none of that stuff is ever going to be totally fulfilling in your life. It may give you some happiness for a while, but you will never feel fulfilled. The only way that's ever going to happen is obeying and walking in the good works that God has created you to do. And if we don't do that, then, man, I'm telling you, life is never going to really make sense no matter what happens. All right. I want to give you another reference in talking about this, again, and how that we are working out our salvation, not that we're working for our salvation. God's done all the work for us with Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a matter of working that which we've accepted out so that people can see it. He has made us new in Christ. I want you to go back a couple more pages from Ephesians to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look down at verse 17 and actually read to the end of this chapter in verse 21. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. And here's the thing that I want you to also understand. Because I know what you're saying. I know what people think. It's like, well, there's no way that God could use me. Charles, you don't understand what my past is. You don't understand the struggles that I have. You don't understand what I've dealt with. Trust me. I am nobody special. All right. The things that I have learned in the Word of God is because I've had, God has given some good people in my life to disciple me, to train me up, and just spending time in the Word of God has anything to do with my intellect or how many years I've been saved. It's a matter, God will use anybody that has an open mind to Him and an open book, His book, the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It's in the past. All right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad it is, how bad you think it is. It does not matter. You, too, can be used of God. If that wasn't true, verse 10 would not be in the Bible of Ephesians chapter 2. He is giving us good works for all of us. There was no prerequisites on that. It wasn't that, well, you have to be a theologian or you have to come from a good family or whatever, anything like that. It's a matter of just being in Christ. It doesn't matter your background because, again, that's the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Not all sin but this. Not all sin but that. All sin. There is no sin that can't be covered by the grace of God. And God can use you. I know you're thinking, there's no way He can. I don't know enough about the Bible. He can use you. It's a matter of being willing to have God to do His work in your life. And He will lay out those good works that you're supposed to walk in. Now, here's what it says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, no prerequisites there, if any man be in Christ, that's the only prerequisite, you got to be in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, again, it doesn't matter your background. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Alright? Clean slate in Christ. Alright? And God has given us his word of reconciliation so that we're able to do the ministry of reconciliation. That is something that is given to everyone in Christ. It's not just the Apostle Paul. It's not just to the Corinthians that Paul was writing to back then. It's not just to pastors or deacons or leaders in a church. It's to every believer in Christ. We have this ministry of reconciliation, and he's given us the word of reconciliation to do that. In verse 20, it goes on and says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." In other words, ambassadors, we represent heaven on earth. In other words, God has left us here to be ambassadors. We know what a diplomat or ambassador is for other countries. We have a U.S. diplomat in Italy, let's say, or whatever country you want to pick. They represent the interests of the United States in that foreign country. Well, as believers in Christ, we are ambassadors representing the country of heaven and what God, what his interests are here on earth. And God wants to and can use even you. Doesn't matter the background. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. All Jesus needs is a person that is willing to open up his book and be willing to be used of him. That's all it takes. That's what he worked in my life. I didn't know anything about the Bible when I accepted Christ at 19 years of age at a Boy Scout camp. Didn't know a thing. But God gave me a desire for his word and a desire to be used of him. And he's been doing that for almost 32 years of my life. No matter what job I have, no matter what career, no matter what I'm doing, to be able to use that as an opportunity for God to show me those good works that I should be walking in and to be able to do them. I wish I could sit here and say that I 100% have followed everything that God wanted me to do. Not even close. My goal, and I would like to be, when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, and I have accountable to him, that I have completed everything that God has given me to do on this planet. But I know that I've fallen down. I know that I've had to repent. I know I had to pick myself back up or allow God to pick me back up, clean me off, and continue to go. That's the process. That's what happens. God is just looking for somebody to be willing to get up, look into his word, trust him, and he will show you what you're supposed to do. It's just a matter of we're willing to do it. Now, we got to continue on. There's more to cover. We go back to Philippians chapter 2. Again, from verse 12, it says this, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This is how, again, I know that this is not talking about working for your salvation, but the salvation that you have, that work that has been in you, it needs to be borne out because of what verse 13 says. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You see, working out your salvation is allowing God to work in you. As it says in verse 13 again, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now here's my question. Are you going to allow God to make that work in you an easy thing or a hard thing? Again, we talk about the importance of children obeying their parents, and we know how frustrating it is to try to get children to obey when they don't want to obey. I remember a time, and I know my son's not listening right now because he's listening to his pastor in his church from the church that we came from in Kansas City, and he doesn't mind. He loves the story. But when we moved up to Canada, he was 2 years old at the time, and this is back in 1994. And so Andrew was 2 years old, and we had friends, one of our friends at the church up there. We were going to rent a movie back when you really did that, go somewhere and rent a movie. And I rode with this man. His name is Rusty, and had Andrew with me. And I've always, as I think most parents, think that my kid is never going to scream and cry and throw a temper tantrum in a store. That's just not going to happen. Yeah, I thought that until that night. And so we go to rent a movie. We went with in Rusty's truck. And so we go into this movie place and place to rent. And And they had a little section set up for kids to be able to play with toys and things like that while you pick out your movie. And so I had Andrew there, kept an eye on him, and he's having a good time playing. But, of course, it was time to leave, and Andrew didn't want to leave. So what did Andrew start doing? He started crying and fussing and so forth and everything like that, and I had to pick him up, carry him out there, looking like that parent that I thought I would never be. And so I'm sitting by Rusty's truck because he went over to the grocery store to get like a 2-liter of pop, and the truck was locked, so I couldn't get in there. But as I'm holding Andrew, and people are coming by, and I'm just like, Andrew, you're in so much trouble to get home. Andrew is like yelling out, help, help, help me. And I'm like, oh, you're in so much trouble. It was frustrating. It was hard to deal with, but obviously we dealt with that. And it's a funny story, and I'm sure all of us parents have experiences like that. My point is this. What about God the Father? He has plans for us, knowing that we would be happy and fulfilled if we do those plans. He wants to work in our life. But yet we fight him like a 2-year-old child that just wants to have her own way. And there's no way we're going to complete the works that God wants us to walk in, and there's no way that we're going to have a fulfilling life if we're always kicking and screaming against the work that God wants to do in our life. Look, God understands us. He understands that we are but dust. I think one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103, because it talks about how He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He pities us. He understands our nature, the sinful nature of the flesh that we're in. But it's not an excuse to go out and just continue to do what's wrong. But understanding, hey, guess what? And I'm telling you this. If God can use me, He can use you. He has a plan for you. He does. Again, from verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I want you to just go real quickly with me to back to 1 Corinthians this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I used this reference, I think, recently in our coming through of the book of Philippians. But it warrants, again, going back and revisiting it. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 down in verse 10. And the Apostle Paul, again, talking about God, saving and calling him and dealing with God's grace in his life. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, it says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In other words, Paul labored and he worked and he didn't use God's grace in vain. I mean, he didn't just accept it and do nothing with it. He didn't accept God's salvation and did nothing with it. He labored, but he says that what really happened was that it was the grace of God that labored in him. God was working in him and through him. But that's not enough to understand. I want you to go over to Colossians. We're in the book of Philippians. Just turn another page to your right, and you have the book of Colossians. I want you to look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. I want to really drive this point home and how God can use each and every one of us. He wants to work through us, work out your salvation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. Paul is talking about Christ, of course, and he says this, whom we preach, in verse 28, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What is he talking about? That judgment seat of Christ that we mentioned last week. We're all going to have to stand before the Lord. We're all going to have to give an account. And it's a serious thing. All right? Being in law enforcement, there's times where I've had to go to court and dealing with cases and going before a judge. It's a serious thing. You just don't take that lightly. I mean, you want to make sure you have everything ready to go in your case and all that. Well, the ultimate courtroom that we're going to be going to as Christians is the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul's desire is not only to preach Christ, but to teach Christ and have people understand that this is a serious thing. He wants to present every man perfect. Doesn't mean that you're without sin, but perfect in dealing with that you have been able to grow and to be able to be used of God. And again, it goes on in this, in verse 29, it says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Again, Paul, yes, is doing work. We have work to do, but in reality, it's allowing God to work through us. Here's the point. It's not, a lot of times we have the excuse, well, there's no way I can be used of God because I don't know enough, or I haven't been saved long enough, or you don't understand my past. And what that all those excuses come down to is you looking at yourself and trusting yourself. It's not trusting in God. You see, we are to allow God to do the work, because any work that we do in the flesh is not going to mean anything. It's allowing God to work through us. That's what we're talking about, and that's what Paul's laying out here. Okay, I've given you two references in dealing with that, and say, well, I don't know, maybe I'm still not convinced. Let me give you another one. Continue to travel to the right, but this time to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And originally I have an outline just reading in verse 9, but I'm actually going to read verse 7 because it's important. Because again, a lot of times we fear and we're afraid of, again, with all these different excuses of why we think that God can't use us. And He's ready to work through you and to use you in the life of other people. So let's look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We talked about that at the end of chapter 1. We live for Christ, we're going to go through some afflictions, we're going to go through sufferings, but God gives us the power to be able to deal with that. Now here, verse 9, what we need to see today. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us." So it's not just dealing with salvation and going to heaven, that's it. God leaves us here for a purpose. He has called us. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus," notice this, "before the world began." Before God ever established this world, He has a plan already laid out for our lives. Think about this. God could have had you born at any time in history, anywhere on this planet. But He chose for you to be born at this time and to be where you're at this particular moment. And even in the midst of uncertain times that we've been dealing with and struggling with, and dealing with, again, this virus and the stay-at-home orders and everything like that that's going on in the world, God knew that we'd be here at this time. And for a lot of us, we have more time on our hands than what we've ever had in our life. My son texted me the other day, keeping in touch with him, and he lives in Kansas City, and here, obviously, we're in the Pittsburgh, Kansas area. And he asked me, "What are your plans for your days off?" And I'm like, "The same plans I always have." I have three W's. Word of God, physically work out, and then go back to work. That is the summation of my life right now. And that's probably the summation of a lot of people. We have a lot of time on our hands. And I pray and I look at this time, God, I do not want to squander this time. I have more time to be in the Word of God. I have more time to reflect on Your direction and will and plan for my life. Let me not squander that. And understand exactly what You have for me, because You have laid out every work and every plan that You have for me, even before the world began, and You had me born at such a time as this, for right now. And we have time to be able to understand what God's will is for our life, to spend more time in the Word of God, more time in prayer, and to see exactly what God has, those good works for each of us, each individual, for us to do. And to do it. To obey them. It's like, well, okay, maybe you're making a point, but again, it's like, really? Even the time period that we're living in now, there's some tough things that are happening. People are dying. People are struggling for, when they're going to get the next paycheck, when they're going to make, when they're going to have food and feed their kids and so forth. I understand that. I understand that. I want you to look back at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Again, this is another popular verse among Christians. And a lot of times it's really kind of used out of context. It's kind of, oh, I can go and make a bunch of mistakes and everything's going to be fine. I mean, again, God's grace is God's grace. I've already talked about that. There's not any sin that can't be covered by the grace of God. But I want to specifically have you understand what it says here in Romans 8 and verse 28. You might be more familiar with that verse because there's been a show out called Manifest that it's all based on Romans 8, 28. It was slide 828 and so forth and so on, and it's been an interesting show to watch. But here's what the reality of this verse is all about. In Romans 8 and verse 28, it says this, "And we know that all things is all things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that," here's the prerequisite, "that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Not my purpose, not anybody else's purpose, His purpose. and the key for all things working together for good. All things are all things. Even the things that we look at and see that are not good things, that are bad things. Even COVID-19, that's not a good thing. But with a relationship with God, a loving God, and understand that He has a purpose, even in this, can work out for good. It's a matter of allowing God to do His work even through the trying times. And that He wants to use you through these trying times to be able to help others out. After all, that's our overall vision, in a sense, our subject matter for chapter 2 of Philippians, is being able to have a vision for others. To be able to, we have a unique opportunity to be able to grow in our walk and relationship with the Lord, and to be able to help others out through this time. All things indeed work together for good, but it's to them that love God. And if we really love God, then guess what? We're going to do the things that He has commanded us to do. It gets back to obeying. If I really love God, then I'm going to obey the things that He tells me. Jesus Christ says that, if you love me, then you will do my commandments. You will do the things that are laid out in the Word of God. That hasn't changed. Right? If I really love my wife, it's not a matter of just saying those words. It's a matter of doing something that shows her that I love her. Love in the Bible is action. It's not just emotion. It's not just a feeling. So if I love God, I'm going to have action. I'm going to do what He has commanded me to do. I want to give you another reference in dealing with this and talking about this. Again, it's one of my favorite verses. And I want you to go back to Ephesians as we kind of wind down here. This is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, down to verse 20, almost the last verse of this chapter. And it's a verse that I use often in just dealing with our prayer life as believers in Christ. But I also want to have you understand that it's something that we can look at in God using us to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God to others. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this: Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Same exact thing that we've been seeing from Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. For it's God that worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Last night before going to bed, I'm outside in my front yard and just beautiful stars out, as always when it's not a cloudy day, and just spending some time in prayer before bed, thinking about this message and just really kind of thinking about the things that God has allowed me to do over these some almost 32 years of salvation. Different countries have been able to go to be able to work in people's lives, to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. It's been absolutely amazing. I think about the job that I have now. I mean, talk about doing exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I mean, a couple of years ago, I prayed for God's just provision to be able to have a job that would be able to really provide for my family, since I wasn't living in Kansas City, down here as far as ministry is concerned, and just wanted to get a part-time job to be able to help with expenses. And He has definitely done exceeding abundantly above all that I have ever asked or thought, and just even in dealing with that one aspect of my life. It's absolutely amazing. But what is more amazing to me, and what really it's kind of like my drug, my high, is being able to be used of God to take His word and see it work in somebody else's life. That is my ultimate high. The times that I've been able to preach conferences or missions trips or whatever, and to be able to see the word of God work in people's lives, to see their eyes light up, to see somebody accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be able to for them to understand that God can use them, and it's just like, it is my ultimate high. It's what makes me tick. If I do not have the ability to preach and teach the Word of God, it's time for me to go home to heaven. I'm no good. There's just nothing else that I have to offer. I mean, that is just that is what God has placed in me. That's that burden, that desire He's given me for His Word and to be used of Him. And that's what makes me tick. And the reason why I'm telling you this, because, again, you may be thinking that there's no way that God can use me. Charles, you just don't understand. Even after all the verses that I just covered in dealing with how God can use you, and He wants to use you, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life, it doesn't matter your path. It doesn't matter what you've done. This verse in Ephesians 3:20, He's able. He, God, not you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. and it's going to be according to the power that worketh in you. And when you accepted Christ as your Savior, what is in you is that He's given you the Holy Spirit of God, that is God, the third part of the Trinity. There's nothing that God can't do. And as you put the Word of God in your heart, the Spirit of God and the Word of God working in you, that's what's going to allow you to be used of God to work in somebody else's life. We all have that struggle. It's like, there's no way God can use me, or I don't know enough. Whatever. All God's looking for is somebody with a heart that's open for Him to work in it. And He wants an open book, that you open His Word and spend time in the Word of God. He can use you anywhere at any time. All you have to do is be willing. There's one more verse I want to leave you with. And that's, again, something I kind of briefly mentioned, really, earlier. And that's the Apostle Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to look down to verses 7 and 8. This is right before he is going to be beheaded by Nero, the emperor of Rome. And he's given his last words and things and instructions to Timothy, his son in the faith, and continue on in ministry. He says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. See, Paul understood that God had a purpose and a plan and works laid out for his life. And he finished the course. He says, I've kept the faith. I want you to notice verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a reward, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love is appearing. Folks, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back for this church, but it could be obviously very soon. And what an awesome time it would be to be at the judgment seat of Christ and that the Lord rewards you because you have fought a good fight, you've finished a course, you've kept the faith. Every believer in Christ that has truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, we all go to heaven. We're eternally secure. But only those who walk in the good works that we should walk in and trust God to be used of Him is going to have that crown of righteousness. You love His appearing means that, you love Him. You're going to do the things He's commanded us to do. That's how we started this message this morning. And as everything that I can do to try to implore you as much as I can, again, I got to trust God and His Word to do what it needs to do in your heart. But you will never be dissatisfied trusting God to use you in the life of other people. It doesn't take a theologian. It doesn't take a Bible degree. I don't have a Bible degree. I don't have a seminary degree. I had a great church that had pastors that taught me the Word of God, discipled me, grow me up, give me that experience, give me that ministry experience within the church so that when I left for the mission field, I had an idea and a great foundation to be able to continue to minister. That's the way it's always been according to the Word of God. There's nothing that says you have to have a certificate or a degree from a seminary or a Bible college. Not going against any of that, but I'm saying it is not a needed and necessary thing to be able to minister the Word of God and to work in people's lives. I don't have that. I don't. And if God can use me, He can use you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for this message. You know, it's my life's blood. It's what, if I was to boil down all the messages that I ever preached or things that I've ever taught, which would be a lot over the last 30-some years, this would be the overall thing I think would come out, is understanding that you have a plan for, a purpose for our life, for each and every individual, and that you want to use each and every individual that is on planet Earth. It all starts about being in Christ and continuing to grow in that relationship with the Lord. Have an open heart, open mind, open book, your Word. And you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let this message be a reality in everyone's life that would hear it. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I hope you enjoyed the message. As always, if you have any questions or any comments, feel free to leave those for me. I'd be happy to get back with you. And as always, until next time, stay in the Word. You're not going to believe who I saw that was watching.
Who?
Ed Hubert.
Oh, really?
And I saw DJ from Topeka. He's...
That's been awesome.